The Sunday Papers on Off the Ball.
And you're welcome to the Sunday Paper Review on Off the Ball. It's John Duggan with you today, sitting in for Adrian Barry, and we're delighted to have in studio this morning the Irish Mail and Sunday Sports editor Orla McIlroy and the former League of Ireland manager Shane Keegan. How are you both today, this Sunday?
Great, John.
Thanks, John. All good.
We're going to go through lots of stories today. Before we do that, we'll go through what's on the back pages of both the papers and on the front pages of the sports supplements. So, the Irish Mail on Sunday, it's Le Crunch. Ireland need a huge display to tame the fancied French by Rory Keane. And Amorim and Guardiola both hoping for derby boost. The Manchester derby today, remember, live on News Talk. The Sunday Times sports section. Keane back to be the next Ireland boss by his former goalkeeping coach Graham Stack at Maccabi Tel Aviv. Remember, Robbie Keane is at Ferencvaros in Hungary at the moment. And Hamer Hallgrimsson, will he be around for too much longer after the Armenia defeat, which we're going to get into? A sign of things to come. New buys Zubimendi and Madueke shine for Arsenal in their 3-0 win over Nottingham Forest. Matt Cooper on the back of the Sunday Business Post, all sports stories. Soaring Ryder Cup bill likely to land at the feet of the taxpayer. Decision to hold Irish Open at Trump Doonbeg reeks of political pandering, and FAI just can't blame John Delaney legacy for the state of Irish football. We have The Sun, back page, The Sun on Sunday. Scoring on the Cob, that's the headline of the day, maybe. Amorim Maynou must do much better, Cobby Maynou, ahead of the Manchester Derby, and win off the post. Arteta thrilled as new boys KO Ange. Ange Postecoglou's first game in charge of Nottingham Forest. We have the Sunday Times front page. McGregor puts society at risk, warns Taoiseach. Martin criticises divisive loose talk of the former MMA star. We have the Sunday Independent. Sophie's Choice, O'Sullivan's dramatic dive earns her spot in the semi-finals of the World Athletics Championships. Joe Brody, do we want America in Croke Park? We'll get to that. And Amorim challenges Maynou to raise game. And we also have a story in the front page of the Sunday Independent. FAI coach suspended amid sects inquiry by Martai. So the details of this, to paraphrase them, or to, I suppose, put them in context, the FAI suspended one of its coaches who's been accused of repeatedly sending inappropriate sexting messages to a woman who was the mother of a player. The coach was suspended on Friday. The complainant said she was frustrated and distressed that the accused was still employed by the association this summer after she provided the association with text messages and voice notes she has received, despite repeated requests for the individual to cease contact. A formal complaint was made to the FAI last February. The coach was issued with a final written warning in April for inappropriate use of his work phone. It's understood the FAI believed at the time there was some sort of consensual relationship between the coach and the complainant, which she has denied. Now, last year, there was a Sunday Independent Orty Investigates report into widespread historical allegations of inappropriate behaviour made by women against Irish male soccer coaches. Now, after that story was published and aired, the FAI said it was appalled that women involved in Irish football had experienced serious historical abuse and manipulative behaviour. There was a press conference held by the CEO, David Carell, at the time. The association said it was treating these allegations with the utmost priority and seriousness. A safeguarding awareness campaign, Play It Right, was launched to offer guidance and support to anyone involved in Irish football. An independent helpline was set up for the reporting of any serious concerns which can be disclosed by individuals in absolute confidence. And on September the 24th, this month, the FAI leadership will appear before an Oireachtas committee to give evidence on safeguarding issues. Now, there may be questions and a response to this latest story that we see in the Sunday Independent today. So the FAI, there are a lot of negative stories in the public domain about the association. They range in importance. This story and these allegations regarding an FAI coach are at the serious end of the scale. And with every serious story, explanations are required, public accountability is required, and public trust is challenged. So that's where we are on that.
Should we point it out as well, John, that the female complainant, as she's referred to, is also a football coach. So it's not really a very, you know, an area that's conducive to bringing women into the game if, you know, they're met with this sort of behaviour. She details how she was frustrated with the FAI's handling of the case. And later on in the piece, it says that he was suspended on full pay on Friday after the FAI was told by a League of Ireland team that the same coach was asked to leave the club over an inappropriate message sent to another player's mother some years ago. The FAI had required the coach to disclose any other relevant information to its investigation, and the association is concerned that he failed to do so. I mean, the onus should not be on the person who is accused to self-report previous issues. Surely the investigators are the ones tasked with discovering if there have been previous issues. But
and prior to him being put on leave, I think she says that she actually stopped attending events where she thought she might possibly bump into him.
She stopped going to tournaments in her position.
She went to one or two and he was there. Yeah. And she was like, the only way for me to avoid this person is for me not to attend these events, which again is... she was on the wrong foot there in terms of who has to step away from doing what they like doing, you know?
This is going to be a Oireachtas committee meeting that is about safeguarding. So, look, it's the same. It's 10 days' time.
Look, it's just more extremely unwanted controversy at a really, really crucial time for the FAI. It just seems to be one thing after another, John. It's
far. We've been saying that for years. Like, how many times have we been on here, you know, in the wake of another issue coming forward with the FAI, of another front page appearance by the FAI? And we come in here and go, you know, how is it that time after time after time there is issue after issue after issue? And it just doesn't seem to end.
So Matt Cooper's got a piece on that in the Sunday Business Post, that it's 6 years since John Delaney left the FAI, $43 million in debt, and arguing that some of the decisions that have been made are questionable since then. Now, David Correll, the CEO, did front up on Friday and answered whether people are satisfied with his answers or not. A range of questions about the Eileen Gleeson issue, about redundancies in the association, about Hamer Hogrimson, something that we probably wouldn't have seen in the past. And you'd expect he'll be speaking at the Oireachtas Committee, but I'm waiting for a positive story in the FAI.
Yeah, the attempts to rebuild the FAI's reputation since John Delaney's departure has quite honestly just been shambolic. Like, how long has he gone now?
6 years.
6 years. Like, are we actually any further along in restoring, you know, government's opinion of the FAI, the public's opinion of the FAI? I mean, it's been one poor appointment after another. It's been one unwanted newspaper headline after another. Like, you would have thought, John, the only way was up from where we had been taken to. But I'm not sure if we have shown any upturn at a time where we are so badly, and listen, the point is made right across quite a few of the papers. I know we're going to get into to Shane McGrath and Eamon Sweeney and different people who make lots of different points on where the FAI is at the moment and where Ireland are at the moment. But at a time where we are screaming out for government funding, how? Like, it is the easiest no of all time. Mm. It is the easiest no of all time, John. How many reasons and excuses do we need to be able to hand to politicians who are probably, quite a lot of them, looking for a reason to say no anyway? And we present them with reason, opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to say, well, look, guys, we clearly can't trust you with that sort of money, so no.
Well, there's a reason not to say no, which is that the FAI is not Irish football, and it's the governing body, but it's not all the kids and the young people who play the game, and it's the most popular participatory sport in the country. It's the global religion. It's the game in the world that has the biggest reach and has the biggest tournament, and where we want to be at. And after the disaster of the last week, surely if we have any pride in the country, we'll put terms and conditions on anything that the FAI do going forward. And to be fair, I mean, like Micheál McGrath said that I remember at the time about the memorandum of association that they pretty much fulfilled a lot of the things that they were supposed to. David Correll could argue that he's inherited Jonathan Hill, the governance that they had there. Not that you compare Jonathan Hill to John Delaney's governance. Mark Hannum has now gone out of the association. They've made two new appointments this week, John Martin as the director of football and Shane Robinson as the technical director. But it just seems that, you know, whether these are the right people to lead the association or not, they have to get these stories, these negative and very serious stories, out of their association.
But in the same way that a government is expected to come in and function, right? So when there's a general election, a government comes in and takes over. There's a civil service that has been running things in the background, and there's change in faces at the top. But the thing should be running underneath that, right? And there are people in the FAI who are now subject to a redundancy programme, right? I've no doubt there are really good people working there. There are really good people working, as you say, in grassroots around the country, coaching the kids and doing all that. But they're being failed by the leadership. So you've had people come in since the Delaney regime ended. Jonathan Hill came in, has come and gone. Mark Canham has come and gone. Hannah Dingley has come and gone. Many people have come and gone in the association and just moved on quickly with a tick on their CV. All right. David Correll, in fairness to him, did front up and he did come out and, you know, he answered questions at a press conference and he is committed to doing so. Jonathan Hill didn't do it, but, you know, in fairness to David Correll, he did. However, he did the same thing again of saying, oh, from now we're going to be different. Mm. We've heard this all before. From now we're going to be different. You know, he was asked about Roy Keane's comments that the FAI couldn't organise a piss up in a brewery and replied that, well, I think about that Roy was speaking about a time prior to my time leading the association. But who, like, is going to, who's going to be the association? Who's going to stand up and say, yeah, we own that. The association was a shambles. The association, you can understand why Roy Keane would say something like that. Damien Duff has said it about the association. If they cannot be trusted to spend the money that needs to be spent on Irish football, and we all agree that it needs to be spent, then you either reform it from the ground up or you disband it and start again. And nothing is happening. It's just somebody else comes in and goes, well, now we're going to do it my way and it'll be fine. I'm telling you, it'll be fine. There's no proof of anything ever being fine.
How? Because you worked as a League of Ireland manager. What reform does the FAI need? I mean, I think there's the serious issues we've touched upon at the very start of the programme here, and the FAI did last year come out with their regard in regard to their response on safeguarding, and we'll see what happens at the Oireachtas Committee. But in general terms, around the game itself, what needs to be reformed?
For me, the biggest one is making the right appointments at the top, John. Like, it's I suppose it's my opinion rather than fact, but I read Eamon Sweeney's piece. I think Eamon Sweeney's piece today is fantastic. He makes the points, you know, like with John Delaney departing the scene, it was such an opportunity. Surely the focus, the minds had to be so focused on the importance of the right appointment, you know, really, really doing their due diligence, making sure this was absolutely nailed, that it was just universal, that when the people came into the roles, that everybody was going, yes, I can clearly see how this makes absolute sense and I have complete faith in the people they've appointed to be able to push us in the right direction. I don't know too many people who were saying that at the time of Jonathan Hill and Mark Canham's appointment, and there sure as hell aren't any people saying it as they walked out the door, that's for sure. Eamon says here, Delaney's successor, Jonathan Hill, and his director of football, Mark Canham, also continued in their jobs long after their credibility had leached away. 100%. Not only were they poor appointments, but they were then left in position for far, far, far too long. And then, to build on Orla's point, again in Eamon's piece, like, instead, this was an opportunity to regain public faith. And instead of earning public faith by proving itself through a long-term change in behaviour, the FAI demands it immediately on its own say-so. And that's it. It's like, oh, fresh slate. You know what happened in the past is nothing to do with us. Fresh slate, we're here now. But this is fresh slate number three. Like, now, I really, really, really hope we've got it right this time round. And I would like to think that there is a good chance that they have put two good people in place in John Martin and Shane Robinson. But it's 6 years. There's literally a lost 6 years almost of time where we could have been, you know, getting back to where we needed to be. 6 years down the road and we're having another stab at it. Let's hope this stab is more successful than others. Like I say, I think there's, you know, hopefully enough evidence there to say that there are good guys gone in. But how has it taken 6 years? And still, there'll still be question marks. You know, there's no guarantee that these two are going to be able to turn it around either.
No, and they'll be following through somebody else's plan because they're following through this Mark Canham football pattern.
Calendar year plan, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, that's provoked, obviously Shane would know a lot more about this than I do, but it's provoked a lot of disquiet among schoolboy leagues and all these areas. Anecdotally, talking to people who are involved with clubs and underage and, you know, under 12s and under 10s football, it's chaotic at the moment as to what's happening, what leagues are happening, what aren't. Like, Eamon Sweeney's piece, which Shane's right, it's excellent, lays out a lot of this. And he says, Canham's master plan, the brainchild of someone who won't be around when it's carried out, and everybody knew he wouldn't be around, provoked fierce dissent from the schoolboy leagues. They felt that switching the underage season to a schedule which is in direct competition with the GAA for the loyalty of players would be problematic. And it is. We're already saying, you know, it's not a good thing to have kids specialising too young, but we're going to force them into choices between GAA and football. That's not a good thing. You know, because it works in England, Ireland's a different country. We have GAA. We have a summer season that exists in that code. Why are you putting football up against it if it's not necessarily the best situation for the people who are playing it? And the people who are playing the game are being forgotten.
John, one of my first interactions as Cove Ramblers manager was they celebrated their 100th anniversary shortly after I had gone in as manager. And as part of that celebration, it led me to sitting beside Mark Hannam at the celebrationary table and having conversations with him. And, you know, to build on Orla's point, sometimes I get, obviously, hold my hand up, so I am a full-time employee of the GAA. Okay, this is not me saying that the FAI need to pander to the GAA. Absolutely not, okay? They can't just accept that they're to take second place to GAA. That's not it. But there has to be a win-win situation here between the two. We do have enough of a population, I know a small population, but still enough of a population because we're a sports-mad country. I absolutely think we can be successful on the international football front while also having a thriving GAA community. The vibe I got on my very first interaction was, well, I'm going to bury the GAA. I'll show the GAA who's boss. I just walked away from that interaction going, like, I wrote off any hope we had instantly almost. It does look like the whole summer soccer thing is now pretty much defeated, I think, to be honest, even though it's still hanging there because of the scapegoat back avenues to get around it and all that they've introduced. It does look like that has disappeared. Now, listen, I really enjoyed Eamon's piece. Normally, more often than not, the pieces I enjoy the most are the ones where I'm actually not agreeing the whole way through. I'm agreeing with half of it and I'm disagreeing with half of it. And that was the case here because Eamon makes the point he's kind of jabbing that the move away from the schoolboy clubs in Ireland having control of the development of players to the League of Ireland clubs having control of the players. He's kind of coming at it here that he doesn't think that was a progressive step. I do. Again, maybe that's, I suppose, my angle on things being from County Laois, where, a good young up-and-coming talent realistically had to travel a minimum of an hour and a half to 2 hours to be in a club that could really help him succeed at the level that he wanted to succeed. That is no longer the case, thankfully. He talks about, you know, the coaches were there at schoolboy level and they were, you know, the players were then sent to League of Ireland clubs where they didn't have that same level of coaching. Reality is the coaches that were at schoolboy level are now all coaching in the League of Ireland academies. So it's not all, but there has been a mass migration from one to the other, which I do understand is extremely hard on the schoolboy club who do tremendous work. But at the same time, for me, this was definitely a step in the right direction. And to come back to one of the first points you made, John, where I sounded all doom and gloom and you were saying, but no, the money does need to go in, and I couldn't agree more. But I think there's a massive, massive argument at the moment for the League of Ireland at senior level, because there's such positivity around it at the moment, and the League of Ireland at academy level because of the need for funding to try and distance themselves from the greater FAI. Like, they need to get out almost from under the FAI umbrella. Like, they're...
Did they not have that issue though 20 years ago when the clubs were running to the ground and overextended themselves and went bust?
Yeah, and there's every chance that could, you know, I'm suggesting it on one side. I absolutely see the problems with the suggestion on the other side. It just galls me that you've got the League of Ireland department, the League of Ireland clubs and the League of Ireland department, who I think they're not flawless, but I think they're doing fantastic stuff. Absolutely fantastic stuff. You look at our League of Ireland clubs in Europe this year at senior level, you look at the crowds at the moment, the general positivity around the whole league, you look at the fantastic work that is going on despite the lack of resources and funding at underage level, and people putting in, you know, massive hours to try and produce the next level of talent, and they're getting tarred by the same brush as the headline on the front page of the Indo today, because it's all the one. It's football in Ireland.
Yeah.
And football in Ireland is can't be trusted. They will always eat themselves alive. They'll always do the wrong thing when it comes to the crunch. No, no, that's not the case at League of Ireland level. That hasn't been the case for quite a while now at League of Ireland level. It seems to be the case in Abbottstown and seems to be the case at the top end where this stupid stuff is happening. But at League of Ireland level, definitely the case is there for the money, John, because they're not going to make the same mess of it as what's going on at the top table, in my opinion.
The Sunday Papers on Off the Ball.